Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time to feed you more football here on this Super Bowl week. Kansas City, Philly, Chiefs 1.5-point favorites. Roger Goodell met with the media yesterday. Matter of fact, we were watching, trying to multitask. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Michael Pope here. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have already met with the media again today. It looks like football level talk, because you can tell by the expression on their faces. They weren't having as much fun as they were last night. But Roger Goodell, commissioner of the league, was asked about the Justin Tucker news that broke last week.
Surprised, but also, there's a process for that, as you say. Both civil and potentially criminal. We obviously have NFL investigations for that too. We obviously look at that, where we don't want to interfere with the criminal side of that. But so we will look into those issues. They're obviously serious issues, and he's taking that seriously as well as we.
I tell you what, Bob, like when I first heard it, I'm saying Justin Tucker? I mean, there's no way that I would have thought that Justin Tucker would be involved in anything like that. I was, a kicker. Kickers are usually weird dudes, but I guess that's a weird thing that supposedly he's being accused of doing. But Roger Goodell has, he was ready for the question. And, like, he was surprised, too. That's why I said it. Justin Tucker, really? Guy who's... comes across as one of the faces, especially in the Baltimore area, with all the commercials and all that stuff. Total shock.
Look, kickers have needs too.
Yeah.
But you want to satisfy them above board and appropriately, and these accusations are very severe. But as we've discussed, and this isn't our decision to make, obviously, as he played his last game in Baltimore.
Oh, I would say yes. I just think it'd be too hard for Ravens management to bring him back. Just the PR, would be horrible, because we'd be, writing and saying all the things that Harbs has said and what the people in the organization have said in the past about zero tolerance.
And the thing is, you're at Super Bowl week, and the last thing Roger Goodell, go back a week ago today, expected to be talking about was Justin Tucker, because he ain't playing in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Other than like, hey, he's a good kicker. Now it's serious allegations by multiple women against him that has now, started a league investigation. And who knows if this does become a criminal complaint.
Let me ask you this, Bob. Let's just say, for instance, what if the Ravens had beat Buffalo? What if they were playing in the Super Bowl? Would the story have come out at the same time, do you think?
That I can't answer. But that would have been the story.
Oh, my gosh.
All day yesterday and throughout the course of the week. And, But
moot point there because Ravens lost a few weeks ago. But Roger Goodell did address it, so that means it's something that certainly we've been talking about, and something that's going to be monitored over the next few months or so. Now, getting back to the schedule, which you just talked about heading into the break, 18 games. Reality. It's happening.
Oh, given.
And here's Roger Goodell talking about that eventuality, I guess.
Well, we haven't had any formal negotiating sessions about an extension. I'm certain it'll come up in the context of that in some fashion. It is something that Lloyd and I have had informal conversations about. But there's a lot of work to be done. We committed in 2011 when we signed a collective bargaining agreement that the players would not only have a say in that, but they would actually be able to prevent it from happening or support it from happening. We were able to do that when we moved to 17 games back in 20. I think it's a large part because of the safety of our game, the advancements that we made in how we're training in the offseason, how we're training in the preseason, and trying to make that. And this year, the data on safety has been extraordinary.
Bob, it's just been, once they put it, I mean, the NFL, you know what they're good at? They're good at floating things out there to the people. Worth, 18 games. So, they're at 17. And if I'm a player, but it kind of sucks for the young guys, though, is because every preseason game you cut down for the young guy, the undrafted, those guys don't have a chance. But I guess the expanded practice squad kind of helps them a little bit. But they're going to cut the preseason down to what, two? Or one game?
Well, for the starters, it's been a zero burger for a while now.
Yeah, it's basically like watching NFL Europe, So it'll be kind of sad that they'll go.
Well, let me ask you this. Trying to understand what he was saying. The rationale for expanding the seasons because they're comfortable with the way player safety is now. With the equipment and the workout, Nolan, you can get in here. That's the big look. I'm not saying he or the owners don't care about their players and their long-term viability health-wise. This is all about money.
Yes.
And we will watch. We will gamble. You expand it to 18 games. Then all of a sudden, the next day is President's Day most of the time. Now you have this non-built-in federal holiday to have the day of the Super after the Super Bowl off. So, Nolan, to me, it's Vinny worked in the NFL. It's all about cake, not about player safety, it's about money.
And it drives me crazy every time they bring it up, where they start, this was, the lowest year for concussions since blah, 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 You're not doing anything. You're not doing anything to actively change that. I mean, the Christmas Day games are evidence enough. And you've already come out and said that no matter what day of the week Christmas falls on, you want the NFL playing on it. And it would work for, I guess, Thursday through Monday, so a good chunk of the week already it would work. But we just saw it this year with Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a complete disaster, I don't think.
Well, that's because they let them play on Saturday, so that it was like a Thursday game.
Sure, but it was still, it's just not, it's unnecessary.
Yeah, that late in the year, too. You know what I mean? And listen, from a fan's perspective, schedule comes out in, May? You buy your tickets for this game. Then it gets flexed to prime time.
Yeah.
And maybe you've made plans to go to the 1 o'clock game. And then you got to work that night and it's impossible. You're screwed. I mean, you're at the beck and call of what the ratings and what the networks want, which is money.
Right.
The other thing that, people don't really focus on is with, Bob just, no starters play in the preseason. How crappy are the first couple games of the regular season. The first games 1 and 2, you're getting, that's normally the preseason in the old days. So you're really getting 16 probably decent games.
And that's a talking point every year. It's not like, that happened 2-3 years ago and the last couple have been fine. It's like clockwork every year. Oh, a little sloppy. Or, you know, the first couple weeks. Or
Ravens were 0-2.
Or they're using it.
They didn't even know the rules in the first game.
Exactly. Right.
It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7. The Fan will come back. Vinny's going to break down that Kansas City defense. And, of course, we got all week to prepare you for Super Bowl 59. Then Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com. Brian today, as a matter of fact, wrote on the website, Cooper Kupp, likely destinations. Could the old purple be part of the equation here?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, we've been breaking down the Super Bowl, at least early in the week style, and continue on as the days progress. Earlier in the show, Vinny talked about that Kansas City offense, defending Super Bowl champs, looking for 3 in a row. Let's talk about that defense, which might be the true key to victory for them.
Yeah, when you look at their defense, they're really smart, and fundamentally they usually play pretty good. And I like the secondary guys. The corners could miss some tackles on the outside at times. I think their safeties are involved. I really like their linebackers. 32 Nick Bolton, I like him a lot. Although he's 5'11", 237, and then Drew Tranquil, who's 6'2", 234. Now, Leo Chanel, he's a 6'3", 250. He's Malik Harrison in their defense. I mean, he comes out in a nickel and stuff, but he's more of a run-type defender. The thing that scares me a little bit about Kansas City's defense, I mean, in the playoffs, they have not been playing as well defensively. They're minus one, Kansas City is. Now, in defensively, they're giving up 355 yards a game where they gave up 320. They're giving up 148 rushing yards, which, if I'm Philadelphia, I'm like smiling ear to ear compared to 101. So they're in a quarterback rating of 100. They're given average per rush. They were one of the best teams in the league, average per rush during the season, 4.1. Now they're at 4.9. So they have not stopped the run as well. And when you look at them, Karloftis, we like Karloftis. Karloftis is he's 6'4", 263. Wind him up, and he's going till the whistle. What, you know, and is he a natural-born pass rush? He would fit like with the Ravens, because I'm guessing that his win rate is probably not that quick either. Now, the other thing with some of their guys, like the nose tackle, Tershawn Wharton, he's 6'1", 280. And Chris Jones, a big dude, 6'6", 320. Mike Dana, number 51, 6'2", 257. And they'll put him down over to guard some, and he gets washed out. And then, so when you're looking at those guys, and then when you look at, like, the Eagles' offensive line, and they're all 6'8", 6'6", 6'7", 360, 330. I mean, the matchup there is not a great matchup. And the linebackers, you know, like I said, they're not that big, although they're very active. Those guys, Bolton and Tranquil, they run. And they have good instincts, and they hustle, and they chase. The whole defense does. The whole defense chases and gets involved in the run stuff. Now, the D linemen, can they get off blocks? Yeah, they can get off blocks, but when they're getting manhandled by bigger linemen, they have a hard time getting off of blocks. Then and the linebackers can get eaten up. And, you know, like I just said, their average per rush is 4.9, which is not good at all. So, it could be the matchup, just big versus littler guys, you know. And when we talked about the Bills, you know, a couple weeks ago, they weren't a knock you off the ball kind of guy, and Phillies kind of are. Now, the corners for Kansas City, I really like the corner. I like McDuffie. I think McDuffie's a real good player. And then Jalen Watson, number 35, he's a bigger corner, 6'2", 197. Now, one of those guys is going to have to cover A.J. Brown, because A.J. Brown's 230 pounds.
He's a big boy.
Right. So, and what is he good at? Running those slant routes, banging and running the slants. So McDuffie at 5'11", 193 could have some problems with him. But I think they do a nice job in coverage. And the safeties, Brian Cook and Justin Reed, do a good job. In the back end, they did get beat down the middle in one of the plays against Buffalo. But overall, they do a good job locking down on coverage and stuff. And I think they did a good job splattering when Josh Allen was scrambling all over the place. I thought they did a nice job there. I don't know that Jalen Hurts does not cause the same problems that Josh Allen did running the football. So the matchup, I think it's kind of, for this defense, I think it's kind of a tough matchup, Bob, because you got littler defensive linemen, you've got littler linebackers, your corners are not that big, and so Philly, you know, has got big corners. They're great in a run game. He can break tackles. He's got burst. Their receivers are, at least A.J. Brown's a big physical guy, so that's going to cause them some problems. So those matchups are going to kind of be a little difficult, you know, and their quarterback rating, they're giving up 100.3 their defense this year, or in the playoffs. So defensively, they have not done as well. Like average per completion went from 7.0 to 7.8. So every defensive category that they have, they're worse in the playoffs.
And we'll talk about the Eagles' offense and defense tomorrow. But, look, we saw them explode against Washington, turnover-aided.
Yes.
Offensive explosion. But still, Jalen Hurts, his best game in quite some time, as he was nimble running the football and was throwing the ball with great effectiveness. So, you know, rematch. He had his moments against them a couple years ago. Hurts, Brown, Smith, Goddard, and obviously Saquon Barkley. I mean, Spags is his hands full to what level? Trying to slow them down a little bit here.
I think it's going to be. I think they're going to have a tough time, Bob, because what they'll do with Barkley, too, is they'll hit him with, you know, screen passes and get him in space, you know, with Goddard and everybody. I think A.J. Brown's going to cause him a lot of problems just because of his physicality. I think that's going to be tough. But, I mean, if they can't stop Barkley running, it's going to be a long, long day. And, I mean, Bob, they're averaging, some of them, 70 pounds more per man, O-line to D-line. You know, Chris Jones is going to have a hell of a game. And Spags is going to have to – he's going to come up on first down. They're going to have some run blitzes and those kind of things in there. It's going to be interesting to see what he does, because size-wise and stuff, they are a lot smaller than Philly.
Spitty and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk more about Super Bowl 59. Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com. In a matter of minutes, another funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, inside access awaits. Coming up at 2 o'clock tomorrow, Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland, will be joining us.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fans, heard it up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Michael Pope, other side of the glass. Last half hour of the show, big game coming up on Sunday down in New Orleans. Kansas City trying to win 3 in a row, 1.5-point favorites over the Eagles. Here to talk about that and the other NFL news of this Turn It Up Tuesday, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, CBSSports.com, Brian DiArdo. Brian, what's happening, buddy?
I'm good. I don't know about you guys. I'm not even a Ravens fan. I'm still not over that loss to Buffalo. Like you guys, I thought they were the best team in the league and just shot themselves in the foot again. But yeah, good to be on with you guys. And I was just informed by your producer that I guess the Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl. So I guess we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, again, and trying to win 3 in a row, and it is what it is. But before we get to that, Cooper Kupp, and you wrote about it today, Brian, on the website. He's being traded, or at least the Rams told him that, and he's got a big old hefty price tag with him, and you mentioned some of the teams that could be interested in his services, and you wrote about the Ravens. I mean, it's, in theory, it sounds great, but I guess there's a lot of layers to make in this reality, getting Cooper Kupp here to Baltimore, given that old crazy salary cap and such.
Yes. Now, I do think that only $5 million of his contract the next 2 years are guaranteed. So I there's obviously some manageable room you can do there. I think kind of the irony of it is, you know, $20 million the next 2 years is quite a bit of money. But if he plays as well as he can and can stay healthy, given how much, you know, top receivers are getting today, that's not a terrible salary. And, it's, you know, you've got Zay Flowers on a rookie deal. I'm assuming they're going to keep Bateman, who's a restricted free agent, especially how well he played at the end of last year. But if they could manangle that somehow and make it work, and if he could stay healthy, like, to me, I think Kupp is the best receiver for a mobile quarterback that likes rolling out. Now, Stafford's not mobile by, you know, normal standards, but he is great at rolling out, and that's where Kupp can create separation, you know, over the middle on those crossing routes. So I think, you know, for Jackson, he would be, I think, a phenomenal weapon. We saw with Derrick Henry that the Ravens aren't afraid to get, you know, veterans that are a little older that may have a question mark or two. So, you know, I thought they were certainly an option, because I think when you're the Ravens, and as we started this call with talking about how good they are, they might be the best team in the league, you've got to, you know, turn over every stone that you can to try to break through in the AFC. So I think, you know, at least I would look into it if I was the Ravens, especially if he's willing to renegotiate that contract.
Yeah, Brian, don't you think that the Rams would have to eat some money to do the trade? I mean, I'm not giving them anything if I'm taking the contract. You're going to get a seventh-round pick is what I would offer, you know, for them, because I got to take $20 million and all that and give you a pick? No.
No, and I think the Rams would be potentially willing to play ball. Now, the question is, do they want a player? Now, if you look back historically at the Rams, they like picks. So I think, guys, they would eat money if they would get picks. So if you're the Rams or the Ravens, does a fourth and a sixth round pick, and they eat most, if not all, of that salary, does that work? I mean, I think that's the game that you're going to play. I do think the Rams are willing to eat some of that salary. They're big on replenishing their roster with draft picks. They very much value draft capital. So yeah, I think, you know, now a third and a five might be a little too much for Cooper Kupp, but that might be fair if he stays healthy, right? That's the big question. He's 31, 32. He's still great at getting open. And again, as we always talk about, when you're the Ravens and you're this close, you've got to look at all of your options as far as getting through the AFC.
Yeah, I don't disagree with. I think he would be a good fit. Now, what do you think about Myles Garrett?
I think the Lions would make a lot of sense because they don't need a first-round pick, right? Like, they don't really need it. They don't need developmental players. They need guys that can help them win now, right? So I think the Lions would make a lot of sense. I mean, if you were doing a trade, I mean, Cooper Kupp, that would make sense for them because he wants to go to a contender and the Rams want to get rid of Kupp and the Browns need every position imaginable. So, but I don't think that'll happen. The Browns need to figure out quarterback. But I think that would be a great fit for Myles Garrett, right, with Aiden Hutchinson and him. He wouldn't have to be the star. The only question is, Myles is used to having a defense that's tailored to him, right, where he can move around. Now, that did upset Jadeveon Clowney. That's one of the reasons why he left 1 or 2 years ago. So, you know, would he be willing to just be more of a stabilizer at one position, right? Because they already kind of have their thoroughbred with Hutchinson. But I think that would make a lot of sense. I mean, that Lions defense, and I think Aaron Glenn might do a good job in New York, but he didn't do a great job as far as, not allowing points as the Lions defensive coordinator. So I think you bring him there with that pass rush, I think that would be a good spot for him.
Hey, Brian, when you heard the stuff about Justin Tucker, were you shocked?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know anybody that wasn't. I mean, he's a, you know, and I've been in the locker room with him a few times. I mean, he comes off as a model citizen, comes off as a stand-up guy. I mean, and like all of us, right, you kind of have to go off of what their MO is in the locker room, and you never hear anything negative about him and everything. And I do really like the fact that he took accountability when he was struggling, you know, earlier this year. But now you could wonder if that played into his struggles, right? Him knowing that this story eventually was going to come out. But, you know, I think the one thing that no one really talked about this year was I don't think he missed a single kick after their 8-5 start. I think they came back from that bye, and he was basically spot on.
23 in a row.
Yeah. He didn't miss a kick, and he made some clutch ones, right? So I was surprised by it. We'll obviously have the legal process and everything play out. But very unfortunate situation from a great player, for sure.
Brian, do you think he ever wears number 9 for the Ravens again?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if Deshaun Watson survives, and I know they're way different situations, right? You don't like to get into the comparison game. But, no, I mean, when you're – and I saw it with Antonio Brown. I mean, when you're as good as Tucker is, right, and he's on that plane, right, as far as his craft and everything. Now, I know he struggled at the end of last year. It seems like, you know, Harbaugh – and him have a great relationship, and it seems like him in the front office do. I think you got to let this wave ride out, right? You got to kind of let the storm come and go, and we'll see how the legal process lays out. But I think he'll be back with the team. Yes, I do.
All right, well, let's talk about the Super Bowl. I was just talking about, you know, Kansas City. The thing that scares me a little bit, I don't know about you, Brian, is Philly's O-line is so big and Kansas City's D-line is not big.
Well, I love that because I want the Eagles to win, so I think that's great. I'm very happy about that. But I mean, it's and I think, you know, I wasn't born in the 40s, but like I love, you know, old school ground and pound, you know, John Riggins, the Hogs. I love that old football. So to me, if the Eagles win, it's almost a validation that you can still win playing that way. And yeah, I mean, I think if Cam Jurgens is healthy and that line is healthy, you know, they can kind of maul that smaller Chiefs front. And you know darn well that's what they're going to try to do, right? That's what they should do. And that's what the Niners should have done in overtime last year. They just should have ran it all the way in with McCaffrey. And I told myself I thought that's what they were doing once they got in the red zone. And then they got cute and they started to throw the ball around and they went away from their best player. So, no, I think to your point about that line and Barkley, there's no tomorrow, right? You got him here. He's healthy. It'd be like if the Ravens ever got there with Jackson. Like, you got him to this point. You need to throw, you know, some of the safety precautions out the window, and you need to try to win the game, right? So, you know, I think Barkley needs to get a heavy workload, and they need to take advantage of their massive advantage on the offensive line against that smaller front from the Chiefs for sure.
And the other thing, Brian, is I think Philly easily can make Kansas City a one-dimensional team. I see Kansas City's run game being quick screens, get the ball out quick. Because I don't think that O-line is not going to be able to push around Philly.
I agree, and you got to get the Chiefs off schedule, right? Like, if they got a lot of, I mean, if there's one good thing about the Chiefs running game is, Hunt's very north and south, right? Like, third and one, second and two, he's great at just getting those necessary yards, right? Like, old name for you, Bam Morris was was Jamal Lewis was the king of that, right? But he was great at other things too. But like, that's what he can give you. So you've got to get them off script on first down. You've got to put pressure on him, which they obviously can do. But here's the funny thing. The Chiefs were one of the worst teams in the league on third down this year and in the red zone. Conversely, the Eagles defense was one of the best in both categories. So the Eagles defense, as you said, they've got massive advantages there. The thing the Chiefs can do, they could kill you with that speed with Worthy and with Hollywood Brown now back healthy. They haven't fully utilized that yet. They've done it in sparkles since you know Hollywood's come back. That's what I expect them to do. I expect them to attack with their speed. I think that's what they're going to try to do to catch the Eagles off balance. But no, I agree. I mean, I think a small little secret in the league this year is better defense was played this year by and large in the NFC. Better defensive play. And I think that might be a big storyline in the Super Bowl is the Chiefs have not faced an offense as good as the one they're going to face in Philadelphia from top to bottom.
Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com, Idiot Hating, 105.7 The Fan. All right, last thing for you, Brian. We're a few days away from kickoff. Chiefs 1.5-point favorites. You talk about the advantages that Philly might have in the trenches there. The game will be decided ultimately by what? Turnovers aside, I mean, we all know the obvious things, tons of penalties, self-inflicted damage, but what will ultimately, in your opinion, decide Super Bowl 59?
Saquon Barkley. I'm going to keep it simple. If he has over 100 yards, they're not going to lose this game. They got to ride him. They got to get on his back, and they got to feed him the ball. We got to go back 30 years. We got to go back to the 1990s, 1980s, when the running game was king, and they got to keep that offense off, the Chiefs offense off the field. They can do that, they're going to win. They got to pressure Mahomes, and they got to run with Saquon Barkley. They got to eliminate the cute stuff, and they got to stay focused on what got them there, and that should drive them home. That's what I think. I picked them to win 27-24, and I'm going to stay with that pick.
Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com, Bam Morris, Jamal Lewis. You sure he weren't born in the 40s? You sound like an old geezer with all of these guys. Brian, we appreciate the time. Enjoy Super Bowl 59, and obviously we'll talk to you. It probably is sooner than you think.
Thanks, Brian.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
There's Brian DiArdo. Bam Morris, of course, Steeler. Played for the Ravens, too. A little cup of coffee there, if you remember. And Jamal Lewis, I was just hanging out with him a couple weeks ago. Then we tried to get him on the show, and oh, my God, things went haywire.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with a couple thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup. This texter here says, if Kansas City can find a way to at least limit Saquon Barkley, you can never stop him, but start planting those seeds of doubt in Philly's mind and make them start throwing more, no chance Jalen Hurts can keep up with Pat Mahomes if the game comes to that point.
Well, Mahomes going to have it tough because they're going to get pressure on him. That's a given. And Philly's receivers are better than Kansas City's. The biggest thing with Saquon is don't give him the explosive plays like the first run last week against Buffalo, wasn't 60 yards for a touch. You can't give him those big ones.
A good game plan here for the Eagles. Texter says the Eagles have to get out to an early lead as they have done a few times in this postseason run and be up by two possessions in the second half. If this thing is anywhere close to a one possession game, you know Kansas City, even with 1 second left on the clock, Mahomes will find a way.
No, I totally agree with that. You got to be up 10. You got to be up 9 or 10. You got to be up with 2 minutes to go.
Glenn in Hamden here with an Orioles thought says, I know there aren't a lot of spots left in the lineup, but getting another bat with playoff production in their career feels very important to me. The quick exits the last 2 years in the playoffs, offense was a huge problem in both of those matchups. Need somebody with experience.
Well, they have experience now. They've been in the playoffs 2 years in a row trying to get their three straight. So you would hope that the Gunners, the Adleys, have learned from their shortcomings here. Westberg's chomping at the bit to get back there. And Cedric Mullins, you know, for lack of offense, he kind of provided all that they had. So you have to count on your in-house kind of guys. Tyler O'Neill's got playoff experience. So does Dylan Carlson. I mean, did you get Reggie Jackson in his prime? No. But you can't just keep going, hey, you guys are cool, but we need someone that's done this before. You're 44 home run, 100 ribby guy. Bases loaded. Nobody else can get it out of the infield. The guys on your team have to produce sooner or later instead of just keeping adding, hoping to add dudes who can get it done for you.
One more here. Somebody fed up with the Chiefs about all of them taking on that villain role. Texter here says they really started to develop into villains, in my opinion, when it seemed that they were flopping or doing extra to try to solicit calls from the refs. Earlier this year in a Chiefs game, or excuse me, not a Chiefs game on the Manning cast, Bill Belichick threw out a comment after a flag was thrown, basically saying that they wouldn't call that if the Chiefs were playing. It's true. Mahomes always crumbling before a player hits him to try to get a flag thrown, pretending to go out of bounds and then running for more yards. That's what drives everyone crazy.
What's Belichick complaining? Brady started it.
He's the king of it.
Yeah. I like watching Mahomes. I just like watching greatness. And, you know, I mean, if he's got to do what he's got to do, so be it.
Yeah, we're talking about a guy that we talked about Mount Rushmore of coaches that might include Andy Reid earlier in the show. I'm thinking Mahomes is certainly getting his little face carved on that thing before it is all said and done. By the way, Steve Molesky, congratulations to you. He'll be joining Rich Dubroff and Peter Schmuck at BaltimoreBaseball.com. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're back tomorrow with Woman Crush Wednesday for Michael Pope, for Nolan McGraw, for Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in this Woman Crush Wednesday morning. For now, class dismissed.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.